Utterly incredible. I mean, utterly incredible. I mean, obviously, DUP were able to mobilise a surge in response, I think, to the election in March, where you saw Sinn Féin almost level pegging, or nationalism almost level pegging with unionism. So they basically woke up to that and got their vote out in a spectacular way. And as did Sinn Féin, no question about it. And now the two parties which created the Good Friday Agreement, the Ulster Unionists and the SDLP, now don't have any seats in Westminster. They don't have an assembly at the moment to go to, so the only place that they have is the seats that they have in council. So really, quite a radical change in things.
Do you think this is the beginning of the end for the Ulster Unionists and the SDLP?
Well, it does look like that. It does look like that, but they still have a strong showing. I can't give you the figures, they don't have them in front of them. They do have a strong showing at local government level. If we don't get devolution back, and I think there's a prospect of that, though Theresa May want that to be her part of the deal as well, then if we don't get it back, then you will see a lot of the political focus shifting to those big councils. Now, you saw that map this morning of the green west and the orange east. What you've got is something that looks almost like the repartition of Northern Ireland, and you will have the concentration of power at local level, and that's going to look even more like repartition. But let's see. I mean, it may be that when Arlene Foster and Theresa May sit down together and work out what the package is, that one of Theresa May's conditions will be, you know, you have to do what you can to get devolution back and take the bad look off things for her. But extraordinary. Sinn Féin are in an interesting position here. I mean, listening to Chris Hassard there, I mean, all right, they've been abstentionists since 1906, but, you know, when you listen to the argument that they make for abstention, it's always, traditionally, within Republican theology, the argument is we cannot take an oath of allegiance to a British Queen, right? But nobody's saying that. I haven't heard that said for donkeys. You know, what they are always saying is it makes no difference. And actually now it can make a difference. And so that argument is undermined. And what you're going to see over the coming, who knows how long this Parliament will last, weeks, months or years, but you're going to see a succession of Acts of Parliament or Bills before Parliament failing, which might have got through had there been another 7 votes there. And a lot of these will be legislation on social issues, economy issues, that have a direct bearing on welfare and well-being in Northern Ireland. So, you know, the principle has clashed with the practical here. And, what we thought Sinn Féin had learned through the peace process was that the practical mattered more than the principle. Now they're holding to a principle that they don't even want to define that principle precisely, just say there's no point, and the practical circumstance refutes that. There is now a point.
Do you get a sense that the DUP are going to be able to swing some pretty spectacular things for Northern Ireland, obviously to the betterment of the DUP as well, but for Northern Ireland generally?
Well, you know, you saw in the debate on UTV the other night when, Dodds was accused of going along with the Tories and everything, he very pointedly said, but not on welfare. You know, the DUP is still essentially a working class party, which has, liberal attitudes on social welfare, though not on, they're morally conservative in things like homosexuality and abortion, but there aren't going to be any bills before Parliament, I would have thought. Westminster is not going to be the forum in which those issues are fought out. But the DUP, for instance, very clearly want the triple lock restored on pensions. You know, now that's very important. The triple lock was instigated on the understanding that pensions had fallen far behind and that they needed to be brought up to a decent level over a period of time, and the triple lock was a mechanism for doing that. Theresa May lobbed off one of the locks, and it could very well be part of the DUP price that be restored. On the other hand, You know, if Theresa May is canny about this, she'll look at Arlene Foster and she'll say, you really, really want this, you know? You really, really want this. And therefore, she could bargain quite hard. She may feel today that Arlene has got her by the short and curlies. But you know, if you're desperate for the position that has fallen at your feet, if you're desperate to have that at any price, then you can be negotiated against as well.
Do you think Theresa May has the heart for it, the stomach for it, the desire to continue? When you think of her calling an election to totally establish herself, and she ends up far weaker than before she called it,
she's been a complete idiot. You know, she's been a complete idiot. And in the normal run of things, she would now go. And yet, where the pundits, if you like, people like Andrew Marr and others are saying, you know, and Gus MacDonald, I heard him on this morning, saying, no, she'll not go, you know, because it would be such a shambles to leave behind. You can't go into Brexit negotiations in 11 days' time with a Tory leadership contest underway. You know, we've triggered Article 50, you know, and now we can't actually, Europe is looking at Britain and saying, what kind of shambles is this? You know, Europe is wondering, you know, if we make a deal with the people that are sent to us to negotiate, will it even be a deal that'll stick? Do we even know that this is a government that'll still be in place in 6 months from now? You know, so this is a calamitous situation which she has created, and she did it on the assumption that she would get an increased mandate, you know, and that was a colossal miscalculation. Look at the certainties that have been reversed, Frank. Look at the certainties that have been reversed here. Labour was said to have lost in the north to UKIP. Yeah, therefore, Labour was never going to come back. That's gone. The country wanted or was reconciled to a hard Brexit. That's gone. The Guardian, you know, was saying for the past year, Corbyn is unelectable. That's nonsense. Corbyn has done better than Miliband, you know. That the future style of government in Britain was going to be this European style of coalition, you know, and we're back to the big left versus right, you know. The certainty that a PM who crashes party prospects has to resign, that appears to be gone. And the DUP, and there was speculation last week you were going to get this huge Tory surge and the DUP would completely lose its leverage over the Conservatives in Westminster, and that's utterly reversed. So this has been one hell of a night, and everything we thought we understood about British politics has changed. And, you know, with Brexit, with Trump, with this, you know, who's going to take pollsters seriously anymore? You know, another election comes along and you get all the experts on and they're saying, oh, it's going to be Hillary Clinton, or it's going to be a massive swing to the Tories. You know, Newsnight the other night, you know, even the most modest predictions were, 20 or 30 seat majority for the Tories. Nobody gets things right anymore.
Yeah, 20 or 30 seat increase for the Tories.
Yeah. Majority in part. Yeah. Nobody gets things right anymore.
Yeah, Malachy, thank you for that. You're absolutely right. I'm just looking around at some of the comments that have been made over the past few weeks. And yeah, he is right. People will not trust the pollsters. Right. Good morning to you. No, the commentators. 90 333 105 077 66 105 105.